Okay, hello again. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And I'll tell you, I almost didn't make it tonight. So I'm hoping I'm not out of breath. I'm trying to catch my breath. I was at my other office that I have in town where I see clients, and I was with a client, and I was so engrossed I completely forgot that, you know, we go live, and it's 15 minutes from in town to my house in the country. So my daughter came bursting into the office and said, "Do you remember you got a show tonight?" So I said, "Oh my goodness." So I had to get in the car and fly down the highway to get here. So I just made it in the door in time. That usually doesn't happen because I keep pretty good track of what I'm doing, what I'm supposed to be doing. But sometimes when you're with a client and it gets intense and I have a lot of work to do, it's easy to let time slip away anyway. And this one today was giving me a lot of information about the earth changes and the things we have to be doing and how, oh, a lot of the turbulence and things that are going to continue. So it was important information that I will probably be using in another book. So I felt I needed to go over with her anyway. But it did say there is going to be some more natural disasters happening, and there will be more man-made, too, with the governments and the wars, so that we are entering this time. I've been told before that we are in the middle of it now, the earth changes and the things that are happening to the consciousness. It's a very important time in history to be alive. And I keep getting more and more information about this. And so that's part of what I was getting today. And, of course, we had to integrate it. It's a lot for a woman to have come out and then not know where it's coming from and why am I saying these things. So anyway, these will be in future shows when I get to the point of talking about earth changes and the new earth and the things that are going to happen in our future. Because I've got many, many things I can talk about. But tonight, I wanted to continue with what I was doing last week. We started on the different lives that people can live. But before I do, let me give out the numbers for anybody who wants to call in. The number for those in the United States is 1-888-268-4313. 1-888-268-4313. Those who are overseas who might want to call in, it's 1-281-419-7697. 1-281-419-7697. Okay. Now, last week, I was talking about that it was not always necessary to have reincarnation in a past life in a human body. That we have to experience everything. And last week I went through all the other non-human bodies that you would have to experience, starting with the gaseous forms, and then the earth and rocks, and then going into the plants and the animals, and then the nature spirits that take care of all the plants and the animals. And we were going through all of those different types because everything is alive. Everything has life. Even a rock, it is just vibrating at a different frequency. But that was as far as we got last week because after you go through all of these types of lives, you must remember this is a school. You come to Earth, to this life, to go to school, to learn lessons. Everything is a lesson. So how are you going to learn these lessons unless you are everything? You have to be everything. You have to know what it's like. You have to experience everything. And some of the things you may not have even thought of, because who would think of such things as being alive? But there are lessons in every form of life that we choose to experience. But after you go through the animals, the plants and the animals, then you evolve to the point that you want to try human life for the first time. Now, when you go into the human life, you also have to be everything. You have to be male and female many, many times. And many people, this is hard for them to accept. I've had some people at lectures will say, no, that's not true. I've always been a man. I've never been anything else. What do you mean I have to be a female? And it's startling for them. You can see how far they have to go. They're in their first little baby steps if they can't even accept the fact that they have to be another sex. But that's because the soul, the spirit, has no sex. It is neutral. And as that, it can be many of these different things. But look at the lessons that a person would learn. What would a person learn by being male, life after life after life? They would never understand the female aspect, and vice versa. It's very important to switch sexes every once in a while to experience different types of lives and different types of lessons, and to pay back different types of karma, because sometimes it can only be done by being the opposite sex, especially if you had caused karma to, say, a man had caused karma to a woman. Maybe the next time around, he's going to have to experience being on the other side of that as the woman to see what it was like to pay back the man. There's a whole lot of this. I'm glad somebody up there keeps track of it, on the rules and regulations of how all of this works, because it can get very complicated to keep track of all these records. But to me, this explains a lot of the homosexual problem as we see it as a problem. It's not a problem to them. They're just experiencing something different. But say someone was a man many, many lives, and then suddenly he has to come back as a woman. He doesn't feel right being a woman, and this causes confusion. And, you know, the same other way is vice versa. They've been a woman many, many times, and then they have to be a man the next time. And you hear many people say, I feel like I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. And many of them go so far as to have operations to try to change sexes. Really, this doesn't work in the long run, because in the next time around, they're still going to have to be that woman, the female sex, because they have to learn the lesson gained from that. But I think a lot of the homosexuals have been one sex so many lifetimes, they've gotten so used to it, and now they're having to experience the other side of it, and it's very confusing for them. And I did a lecture at one place, and this one man came up to me who was a homosexual, and he said, thank you for saying that. For the first time, it makes sense. And he says, I have something maybe that I can explain it to people so they will understand. So it doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter at all. I even had one client who was both sexes. It's just lessons that we have to learn, and we have to experience different types of bodies. As I said, this body is only a suit of clothes anyway, just a costume that you choose to wear at this time in the stage play. The actor, as you are playing, the actress waiting in the wings, waiting to come on stage to play their parts. This is the costume you're wearing right now. But you have to be male and female many, many times. You have to be rich, you have to be poor. You have to be all of the major religions, you have to have experienced all of them. All of the major religions, all of the different races, you have to have lived on every continent in the world, every country. You have to know what everything is like before you are finished. How are you going to learn everything in one lifetime? You have to experience all of these different things. Have to know what it's like to be the different races and different religions, the different cultures. And by the time you're finished with all of this, there can be no prejudice, or because you will see that you have to be it all. Now, suppose if you were against a certain race, or a certain religion. How do you know you weren't that race or that religion in the life before this? Are you definitely maybe going to be that race or religion that you're prejudiced about? If you are persecuting them in this lifetime, that would be perfect karma for you to come back as the very thing that you've been persecuting. That's why you don't have prejudice once you understand the ideas of reincarnation, because you see you have to be everything, or you may have been everything, so there's no sense of trying to judge people, because we are everyone. But you have to live on every continent, you have to be every race, every religion, you have to be rich and poor, you have to be in every circumstance that a human being can be in before you are finished. That's no easy task. That's why it takes many lifetimes. But we're living longer now, and I found that a lot of times people are experiencing many different lessons in one lifetime. They don't have to keep coming back and learning each individual lesson. They can go through many of this in one lifetime. And that's getting us through the school quicker. Because this is a school where you cannot skip a grade, but you will have to repeat a grade if you don't pass the tests and learn the lessons. And you, when you finally get finished, then you're handed your diploma and you've graduated and you're allowed to go on to the higher realms where there are all different kinds of lessons in those realms too. And as I said, I think I said it one time, is that we were all created at the same time. If I haven't talked about the God Source, I know I will eventually on these programs. But we all began with God. God is a huge energy source. He has no personification. Man, in his ignorance, tries to personify God, try to give him a sex, to make him a male. And some cases they talk about the female god, you know, the goddesses. But he doesn't have a sex. That's just our problems being human that we try to do this. He is really a huge energy source. So huge that it's impossible for us to even imagine. Because they said without him, if he were to wink out for even a fraction of a second, everything would completely disintegrate. He is the glue that holds everything together. And they said, those of us in metaphysics, our perception of God is a little broader than most. We still can't even possibly conceive of the entire thing. But they said, our perception of God is like a tiny thread compared to what it really is. And consider those who don't even have this much perception. Their perception of God is even smaller than a tiny thread. It is just something we can't begin to describe or imagine, because it is literally the glue that holds everything together, and it has created everything. But I found in the beginning, we all began with God. We were all part of this God source, this tremendous energy force. And God was curious. He was lonely and he was curious. He decided he wanted to explore, but he couldn't do it on his own. So he exploded out. And when he did, all of these little sparks of light flew out in all these different directions. I had one client describe it very similar. It's like a bubble or like an embryo, the same thing exploding. Others have just talked about it being a huge light. But as it explodes out, all of these little sparks went out in all different directions. These are the sparks of life. Some of these sparks became galaxies, some of them became planets, and some became individual souls. And those individual souls were sent out on a journey to learn as much as they could, to accumulate as much knowledge as they could, because God wanted knowledge. And the final goal was to be accumulate all of the knowledge you can from everything and then bring it back to God. In that way, we are cells in the body of God, journeying through the universes, finding things out and bringing it back in the end to God. That's the final destination after you've gone through all these different lives, learned all of these different things, accumulated as much as we can, going back in between each life to the spirit side and going higher and higher. When you have finally completed everything that you have to do, then you return to God and are once more back with God. And at one time I said that at a lecture, and a woman in the back said, "And then what?" That is supposed to be the ultimate whenever you get to that point. But I imagine then it could start all over again, because God has an insatiable curiosity, an insatiable quest for knowledge. And that's why there is no good, there is no bad, there is no evil, because it's only negative and positive, because everything is a lesson. Even what we consider to be the negative, what we consider to be the evil and the bad, there's a lesson in it that we have to learn. And people have bad things happen to them. Everyone does. But I always ask them, what did you learn from it? If you learned even one thing from the experience, then that was the reason for you having that experience. And of course, if you don't learn anything, then you are doomed to take a test over again until you finally do learn. But the idea is to keep growing and adding more and learning more each time around. Then we return to the God source. I've had people, many of them now, that have gone in their regression instead of going into past lives. They go back to the source. They go back to God. And when they do, they said it is so much love, they don't want to leave again. This is where they began, and they remember their beginnings before they were sent out. They said it was such a feeling of togetherness, such a beautiful, comfortable feeling of such great love that they couldn't even describe it. It's like nothing they had ever experienced on Earth. And when they experienced that, then they were forced to go out. They said then it was the feeling of loneliness, being by themselves, and searching all the time, wanting, what is it? What is missing? Many people have reported a great sadness, wanting to go home, and they didn't know where home was. This is our home. And they have this deep inside of them, knowing that Earth is not what it's all about. They want to return home. But this is what they have felt when I've done the regressions, and they have gone out, been sent out from the source, out into the world. Eventually, they will return. That's why sometimes whenever they find this out, this is what the source of their problems is. They can come to terms with it, and they can relax, knowing eventually when we accumulate all the knowledge, we will return to that home. And that can be very comforting to a lot of people. So, on this quest for knowledge, though, Earth is only one of the schools. I've been told that Earth is a very young planet. It's only been over here in this part of the cosmos for a very short time in the history of all of the universes. It's a young planet. That's more than one reason why we're isolated, so we won't infect the other planets and galaxies, because we are still learning, we're still working out all this violence that we come up with. So we've been placed over here in isolation and quarantine, I guess you would say, in this part of the galaxy. But the human soul the spirit, the spark of life that we are, has been around forever. And it will continue to be around forever. So you know it has been experiencing many different types of lives before it ever came to the planet Earth, because Earth is a younger planet. What were you doing with all those other times that you were out exploring, learning different lessons and different lives? And what are you going to be doing when you finish here? In those other times, you were on other planets, other dimensions, living in places you can't even possibly imagine, because you were learning different types of lessons. The lessons of Earth is to learn emotions and limitations. Earth is a challenging planet, and a lot of souls don't want to come here because of that. Other planets that they've gone to and have lived on, there were challenges, but not the type we have here. And it was totally different type of life. But they learned those different lessons, and then they came here. This is the most difficult one. Why we have to keep coming back again and again, because there's so many different types of lessons to learn. And after we finally leave here, we may go off and try adventures somewhere else, another planet, another dimension, that will offer different kinds of challenges. So we are constantly going to different places, learning more. So a lot of the people that I have regressed have gone to lifetimes when they were on other planets. They were other creatures. And I think this is important to know, that this body is not the only one you have experienced. Another reason, I've done 20 years of UFO research, working with cases, it helps people to understand this better. They are not alien. They are not out there different and foreign. They are, could have been us, because the human soul is experiencing these different lives also. They are just a soul, a spark of life existing in these bodies. Even though they are different, there's something we can't understand. It is just a spark of life having a lesson, learning experience in those types of bodies. And when you begin to understand those things, it makes understanding the UFO phenomena a lot easier. But we'll go into that in future talks, because I've written 4 books on that, and I've had many, many cases on that, and I've come up with theories nobody else has come up with. But what I want to talk about now are the different types of lives people have had on other planets. And believe me, this really does affect their lives now. It's carryover deep in their psyche. The past lives have reasons that they don't know about that affects their lives now. But also, the past lives as aliens and other planets are also affecting their lives now. I've had 2 different people who carried around a great sadness in this life. One of these was a woman in Singapore. And in Singapore, when I went there, there was not very much metaphysical literature. There was not very much about UFOs or anything over there. So they said these people could not have been exposed to these ideas through reading. But she told me she had always had this great sadness. And she didn't know where it came from. Her parents said they have no pictures of her smiling at all. It was as though this great sadness had permeated her life the entire time. And the main thing she wanted to know was, where did this come from? Well, we went back to a time where she was there when her planet was destroyed. I think this was the one. She was on a spaceship, and she was coming back to home. And as she came in, and was the little spaceship had left the main one, and it was circling the planet, coming in for a landing, it was total horror, because you couldn't discern anything. The cities were gone. The people were gone. Everything looked as though it was scorched. It was burned. Something had happened, a catastrophe had happened that had completely destroyed all the life on the Earth. it some kind of I don't know if it was, it seemed like it might have been man-made, but it was like as though nuclear things had gone off. I don't know if it was actually nuclear, but everything was burnt. She landed her ship, and she was looking for her friends, her family, and the place where she lived. There was nothing. And she had to get back into the ship to go back to the main craft. And it was just total horror and devastation to realize everything was destroyed. She could never, ever go home again. And when she came back to the ship, the way they entered the ships had to be done with the mind. This is the way a lot of the craft are powered anyway, is by thinking. And she was so distraught, she couldn't even think how to get into the craft. But she finally did get in, and then she collapsed, and it was as though everything was over. There was nothing left. She carried that deep-seated sadness into this life because she could never go home to her home planet where she was so happy. She had to go somewhere else. But it didn't make sense because it didn't come from another life on Earth. It came from an Earth where the whole planet had been destroyed. Another woman that I worked with also had this deep sadness of not knowing where it came from. And she was on board a spaceship and watched as her planet was totally blown apart, all into smithereens and bits as it flew out into space. And there was no way she could ever go home again either. So it's strange that these things do carry over into this lifetime. The memory of living in other civilizations. And I had one person went into a life where they were all living underground on a planet, and they were more or less just like carbon copies of each other. Everybody looked alike, and they were producing other bodies in a laboratory-type situation. They were in these old, what you would call, like bottles or cases, and they were exact copies of each other. This was how they reproduced, by creating bodies, clones, whatever you would want to call them, in a laboratory setting. And this was part of this person's job, was to work on these with the controls. But he said it was a very unhappy place. But in the olden days, they said they were a normal race of people, and they were lived on the surface, and they were very much involved in normal life, but then emotions got in the way, and they had wars, and they were fighting each other. All the things that the humans are involved in now, they were involved in those things, and it created a lot of problems. It ended up with wars that destroyed the planet, and the leaders, they thought it was the emotions were the main thing that it caused all of the problems. If they could get rid of the emotions, then they wouldn't have that problem. Because the beings at that time, after the war had destroyed their planet, they were genetically rendered incapable of reproducing in a normal way. So it all had to be done in laboratories. And as the genetic manipulation began, this took place over thousands of years, they eventually created a being that did not have emotions, because they thought if the emotions were what caused the problem, they could take away the emotions, they wouldn't have that problem. And the people were just going through their daily life and tasks like machines. They had no feelings. And this was what the being that this person had regressed to was saying: we have gotten ourselves into a deep end here where it is nothing anymore. And he was realizing what they had lost was the emotions, and that was very important. To live without the emotions was not living. That even though it did cause problems, it was wrong to breed it out of a people and to breed it out of a civilization, even though they thought they were doing the correct thing. So there were lessons to be learned by these things. And these stories, some of them are already in some of my books, and some of them will probably be in future books because I keep getting more of these. One that I got was in The Legacy from the Stars. I think the one I just told you was Legacy from the Stars. Now, Legacy from the Stars is going out of print. There's not very many of these books left anywhere. We only have a few here, but it has some of these stories. It's 12 stories of people who went to lifetimes on other planets and other dimensions instead of lifetimes on Earth. But in the last chapter of that book, the woman went to a life in the future rather than one in the past. And she saw herself on Earth. And they were living in underground ant-type form existence, where there were a lot of tunnels, and they were all living underground. They couldn't go to the surface because we had destroyed through something. We had destroyed all the vegetation and life on the surface, and there was nothing but poisonous gases, so no one could live on the surface, and they had to live underground. And the strange thing about these little beings is that they looked very much like what we consider the little grays, because they had to evolve to live underground. Their bodies had to change over thousands of years to be able to adapt to an underground environment. And that was why the eyes had to get big, the skin changed color. For survival of anything, you live in an environment, your body is going to adapt to that environment. And in this case, it was adapting to a totally different environment. And the point about that case was, this being was trying to tell the woman now, in our time, who was experiencing this, was trying to tell her, don't let this be your future. Don't let this be the future of the Earth, by destroying everything on the surface. It was trying to warn our time period by showing what the probable or possible futures we could go down. So, not only have things like this happened in the past on other planets, it could be the future of our planet, which we don't want it to be. But she went to a lifetime when this had been a reality. Another woman that I worked with a few months ago, and this will go in the future book, she went to a planet that was a green planet. All it was trees, and they were all the same kind of trees. There was no other features. There may have been water, but most of it, she looked at it from the from the air, was just like a planet totally covered with the same kind of trees. And as she went into the body in that past life, she had a body something like a large lizard without a tail. It was just totally a different body than we have today. And it had strange hands and teeth. But this interesting thing about that life was these people lived off of the bark of the trees. They would take the bark off the trees and they would mulch it down, mash it down, and this is what they would eat. But there were so many of these that their population was out of control, and they knew they were destroying the planet because there was not renewing itself. Left alone, the planet probably would keep producing the trees, but with so many of them, they were gradually killing the planet by eating all the bark off of the trees, until it finally got to where the entire planet was dying because of overpopulation and not renewing the resources. And I think a lot of you out there can see what this was trying to tell this person in our time. Don't let us do this to the planet Earth. We have to learn to control these things, like in hers, it was the population, and make sure we have things growing and not destroying more than we are replacing. That was a very important thing that was being taught by that life. So all of these lives that I go into have something to tell our time, I think. I had one woman in London that came to see me who was in a wheelchair, and I was worried about her getting into the hotel room. If any of you have ever been to London, all of those hotels on these, they have many, many of them all alike. They were used to be old family houses, two or three story family houses way back. And now they are all converted mostly into hotels. And they're just one after the other all down these blocks. They're all alike. But they have very narrow doorways and narrow hallways. And in this one I was staying in, the elevator was so small, too. You could only get about two people in there. So when she wanted to have an appointment, I was worried about her being able to get there with her wheelchair. She kept saying, I'll manage, because she travels all over the world by herself, sometimes with a companion, but mostly by herself with her wheelchair, and she was used to getting around by herself. Some countries don't have anything set up for the handicapped. So she said, I'll get there. So when we did her session, she went back into three or four lifetimes where she had very strange bodies, bodies that we can't even imagine in our wildest imaginations. One of them, she had many arms and legs, and her legs went around like a wheel would be with all these different feet. It was things that are very hard for our mind to even come up with in our imagination. But she was shown lifetime after lifetime with very strange bodies that operated very different than our, what we consider to be our human bodies. And when I finally got to the subconscious and asked why was she being shown those kind of lives, said they were trying to show her that structure was not important. Here she is in a wheelchair, she can't walk. But they were trying to show her structure was not important. The important thing is the human soul and what we do with our lives. That was what it was trying to show her by showing her all these different types of bodies. But it did show we have lived on these kind of bodies many, many times. Okay, I'm going over some notes I made here because I have so many of these different kinds of lives. I had some people who were connected to machines, and they were connected to ships. Some of these were used as soldiers in different types of lives, and they were more or less picked up on other planets. The one that I did do was that way. He was picked up on another planet, and they put wires in his hands and his legs and hooked him into this ship so that he was actually flying the ship with his mind and through the muscles and the nerves in the body. But this was also like a flying bomb. And he was sent into this planet where they were at war. And he was told he had to do what they told him to do. He had to go in and bomb these places and kill these people. If he didn't, if he tried to get out of this, then the ship would self-destruct because he was wired into it. And he was diving in and out of canyons and cut between cliffs, and there was a lot of explosions and things going on. An interesting sideline is this man had made a drawing, and he didn't know where it came from, that he had hanging on his wall. And it looked to me, when I first looked at it, as some kind of another planet, because it definitely didn't look like Earth. And we found out when he went into the regression, he was seeing the same scene that he had drawn the picture of, not realizing where it came from. He never knew where the idea came from. But here he was diving in and out of these canyons and cliffs and seeing all the explosions, and he was like a machine that had to do this, had no choice. So he got tired of it, and he didn't want to do it, and he was afraid of it. So he took off in another direction, and the ship exploded, and he died in that lifetime. I've had other ones who went into lifetimes where they crashed on this planet for the same reason. The one, he was controlling the little craft by his mind and by his muscles and his nerve reactions. And he said he was just in this part of the galaxy on a mapping exercise, just mapping out continents and things. And something happened. He said he never really knew what it was, but it caused him to crash. And he said, I'm really a very good pilot. It shouldn't have happened. But when he crashed, he was in the mountains, and it damaged his head. Well, his head was what was controlling. The mind was what was controlling the craft. And he couldn't take off again, and he couldn't notify the people where he'd come from that he was in trouble. So he crashed, and he had to stay on Earth. And he ended up living with what sounded like Sasquatch, Bigfoot, abominable snowman, whatever you want to call them. He ended up living with those type of creatures, and he could communicate mentally with them, but they didn't understand what he was trying to say because it was so alien to their environment. But anyway, she couldn't get away from Earth because of that. She was more or less trapped here. And that went into some other things with her lives. But these were many cases where the ships were controlled by the minds of the people flying them. And often they were wired into the machines. I had another interesting case, and this was in the latest book, about a doctor who came to me. And he couldn't figure out what it was, but he said all his life he had this feeling in the pit of his stomach, like there was something there that was, it was very bad. It was something he didn't know where it came from. He didn't know what was causing it, but it was really upsetting his life. And he wanted to find out more or less, where was this coming from? This uneasy feeling of that he was holding something inside and he didn't know what it was. He went to a planet where he was a killing machine. And this would have really, I think, startled him if he would have been conscious of it. But he was a machine that had been genetically a person, but he had been genetically made to be a killing machine. And he was constructed so that he was taken to these planets of the enemy, and they would search out all of the enemy they could, and they would kill them. And one way they would kill them, he would just explode with the force of like an atomic bomb. But that was the way his body was. And when he got to this planet and he began talking to me, there was such hate in his voice. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but he said he had to kill anything alive that he could find. And it was such a compulsion. It was just horrible to hear him talk like that. Search for anything that was alive, and then he would explode and blow up these people. Now, in that lifetime, when this would happen, they had a way of capturing the soul, the spirit, putting it back into another body that was also genetically engineered to be a killing machine. So this happened time and time again, many, many lifetimes. And finally, some sense began to come into that civilization. They became more spiritual, and they began to see this was not the answer. It was not solving anything by just keep killing, killing, killing. So at that time, they began to change their ways slowly. And then, after he died in one of these events, his soul was able to escape, and he was able to go on to other lifetimes on other planets. Well, when he came to this planet, in the life he's in now, he had a very dominating father who pushed him down and would not allow these aggressive tendencies to come out. So sometimes those type of fathers and parents have a definite purpose. But in this lifetime, he said, ever since he was a child, he had wanted to be one of two things, either a doctor or a mercenary. And he never knew where the idea of the mercenary came from. But you could see if he had been the mercenary, he would have continued the violent streak that he had had through the other lives. So instead, he became a doctor. But he put himself in a position to where he won't be where he would hurt people if this tendency should come back. But he has changed his life around now to where he is helping people, saving them rather than killing. So you can see how the karma is being repaid. But some of these lives are very strange that I've come across. But I've learned when you're doing this kind of work, you can't say, oh, that's impossible, and don't follow it up. No matter what the client says, no matter what the client is experiencing, what they are seeing, it is important to them. Even if it's not something we would believe or understand, we must follow up on it and allow them to tell their own story without trying to influence them or lead them away from what they are seeing. That is not therapy, to do that, to try to push them out of what they are seeing because we don't understand it. And that's when, in the beginning, I was offered so many things gradually that I didn't understand. I could have stopped anywhere along the line. Instead, I had to be open to the idea that anything is possible. Maybe that's why I keep getting so many strange cases. I had one woman who went to a lifetime. It was a very barren planet. There wasn't anything on it. And she was a man living there. And he was like a guardian. He was watching for the enemy, I guess they would call it. And they all lived underground. They had holes in the ground that they had to go down with ladders and live underground. Underground, they had an entire civilization where families and a whole communities were living underground. And the only time he had to go above ground was just to watch for danger. And then as the life went on, we found out what the danger was. And they were huge machines, rather like the things you see on War of the Worlds or those type of things. They were made out of metal, and they had legs, and they would walk across the surface. There were also flying machines, but the most dangerous ones were these ones, that mechanical ones that had the legs. He would watch them as they walked across the surface and warn people they were coming. Because when they would find these holes, they would literally suck the people out of the holes and take them with them. In fact, it does sound a little bit like War of the Worlds, except that I got this information long before the movie ever came out, so I know it couldn't have been influenced by like that. But of course, they never knew what happened to the people. But when I got to the subconscious part, they said that there was nothing combustible on the planet, and in the cities, they had to have something that they could burn for fuel and ways to power the city. So they would use these people that they would find. I guess they considered them the lower groups, that it didn't matter if they took them or not. But they used the body in that way. It's rather kind of like that movie Solent Green with Carlton Heston and Ever G. Robinson that was made many years ago. In that time, they were using people as food. But in this case, they were using them as fuel. So here again, as you wonder, all the science fiction things, maybe they're not really science fiction. It's science fact, because anything is possible. And if the person can imagine these things, who knows where the idea comes from? But in my first book of Convoluted Universe, book one, I had a woman who went back to a lifetime where she was a mechanical person, what you might call a robot. And I kept thinking, how can a robot have a soul? But it shows that even a machine could be alive. And she had just enough of a soul that she could experience, she could feel. But of course, the makers of her and all the others didn't understand this. They treated them like machines. They didn't realize they actually had feelings and could sense things. And it finally ended to where she was finally taken apart, and then the soul was able to escape and go into another type of body. But it was because she never really appreciated the value of the human soul. She was being shown what it would be like to be a machine that no one believed had feelings. If you remember the Star Trek, you remember the movie, the Next Generation with Data, he became so human-like, and they was wanting to take him apart, and it was like he was this machine. He had no feelings. He had to prove he was more human than they thought. That also happened in the Robin Williams movie Bicentennial Man. This was the same thing. They didn't believe that this machine could feel and could understand, was more human than they thought. So here again is more strange things. And we're running out of time again. But also many of the people I've worked with have gone to where they were energy beings. They didn't need bodies. They'd gone past that point. Didn't need bodies. They didn't need structure. They were just beings of light and pure energy. And they had a lot of other things that they did in those lives. They lived in dimensions where you didn't need bodies. You were just pure energy. And you could create. You could create anything that you wanted by the sheer force of your mind. So I want people to understand this body we're in right now is just this one step of the way. There are many, many more adventures that you've had and many, many more adventures that you could have in the future. So that's what life is all about, learning lessons, trying to understand the ones we're involved in right now. Okay. All right. Next week I'm going to go live with some guests. I'm beginning to have some more guests. So next week will be the first of that. It'll be Carol Pate, who has been judged one of the best psychics in the United States. She has worked on over 500 murder cases and missing person cases. She's worked with the police, and she's an old friend of mine, and we're going to discuss some of the cases that she's involved in. She has just got through filming for her 6th edition show on the Court TV, and she's been on Unsolved Mysteries, a lot of that. So that would be an interesting show to let her. It's like the real-life medium that Patricia Arquette plays. This is a real-life one who has really experienced these things, and we'll be speaking about that next week. Okay, anybody that wants to contact us or find out about us, more about the books, the website is www.OzarkMountain. That's OzarkMt.com. OzarkMt.com. My 800 number is 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045. And if you want to communicate with me, the email is decannon, C-A-N-N-O-N, @msn.com. Okay, good night till next time.